And we will not go much into that. Let's continue. When she conceived again, the reason he named the daughter Lo Ruhama, which means no mercy. And in some people, they interpret it as the word mercy, no mercy, as meaning one who does not know the Father's love. But the essence of it is mercy, because the word Ruhama occurs in the Hebrew and it's been translated as mercy in various places. The depths of mercy. So here, apparently, this daughter didn't belong to Hosea. Hosea was not the true genetic father of this daughter. Remember, Gomer was a harlot. And then the second message was, I will no longer have mercy in the house of Israel. Step 2. After some time, verse 8, the third prophecy came at the same time as the third child came. God timed the prophecy by the birth of the children. Verse 8, when she had weaned Lo Ruhama, she conceived a son again. This one is a son, but with a girl's name. Verse 9, it says, call his name Lo Ami. Lo Ami. Right. I'm glad it was not Loba or something. Call his name Lo Ami. And the meaning of Lo Ami is that you're not mine at all. You're no kin of mine. That's the third stage. The second, they lost the mercy. The third, they lost the relationship. The third child was also not genetically from Hosea. That's why this command is given. And then God's message always was the same. In verse, it ties up to the name. In verse 9, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Then it continues, and in chapter 2, he gives a detail about the people. Gomer represent Israel, and the children represent the people of Israel. Then the prophecy began to flow forth, and God began to play around with those. The prophecy began to play around with those names. In verse chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Say to your brethren, my people." And that is the word army again. Just now was Lo Ami. Say to my people, army. And to your sisters, Ruhama. See, if you read it in the Hebrew, it's a play on the names again in the Hebrew. Mercy is shown. God is telling us how people can fall away from God. But at the time, As a person begins to turn away from God into the wrong road, the road where God wants them to walk, the road of righteousness, and they begin to turn into the broad way of sin, these three things will occur. God will not immediately remove mercy. The first thing is you begin to see the dark clouds, the seed, and the warnings of judgment. God is merciful. There will always be a warning. There will always be an alarm raised. There will always be a red flag, a red light that shines, that blinks. Danger, danger, bahaya, bahaya, avas. There will always be all those things along the road. But when you get past that awa sign, that bahaya, and the next step, the second signal, is Lo Ruhama. Suddenly you look around you, and the mercy of God doesn't seem to operate on your life. It begins to be hard and dreary. It seems that you lost favor and grace with God, and then you lost favor and grace with people. And if you still didn't repent, the third stage will come. You will completely be out of fellowship with God. You lose the entire fellowship until you're completely cut off from God. Those are three steps into backsliding. And God warns the Israelites through these three steps. But yet in all these things, God reaches out to them and He says here in verse, looking over here, let's read some passage. In verse 8, chapter 2. For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time, and my new wine in its season, and will take back my wool and my linen, given to cover her nakedness, and I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. God says, I gave her gold, I gave her silver, I gave her new wine, I gave her all these blessings. But God says, she did not know that it was from God. She forgot the Lord. Look at verse 5. What she, that is Israel, said. For their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers. Who gave me my bread, my water, my wool, my linen, my oil, and my drink. Israel forgot that God was their source. And Israel thought that their help was in Egypt. Their help was in all these idols. And they turned to false gods. They turned into the golden calf. The worship that was prominent among the Israelites in the northern kingdom, started by Jeroboam. And they turned away from God and they began to acknowledge that all these things they think came from the wrong source. God says, in chapter 2, He clarified, all these things came from Him. And what happened has already been warned way back in Deuteronomy. Would you turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy? In chapter 8, God says, in verse 10 and verse 11, God says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. You see, God says, in verse 12, He continues, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God says, when you have everything and you forget me, then, God says, in chapter 8, He tells them in verse 19, you shall perish. The main thing that they forget is a very common thing that people do. They forget to bless the Lord and give thanks. God only asks one thing of them. When you are full, when you are blessed, when you are in abundance, when you are healed, after everything, be like that one leper who came back. Don't be like the other nine lepers. One leper came back and said, thank you. The other just walk off with the healing. The Bible tells there's a difference between the word heal and the word whole. When leprosy is healed, the fingers that are lost are still not there, except the leprosy has been arrested and removed. But when a person is made whole, if the finger is not there, it grows again. his place back. He says, is that possible? You have not read the Bible carefully in Matthew 14. In the life of Jesus, there were also creative miracles. They are not emphasized that much, but they were present in the life of the Lord. It says that the maimed were made whole in Matthew 14. The word maimed says about those who don't have hands, don't have legs, don't have limbs, or don't have certain parts in their body. The maimed made whole. Those refer to creative miracles. Of course, people say if it's there, why wasn't it emphasized? The Holy Spirit has a reason for that. There are a lot of areas where we realize that even in the healing of the lame man where he made clay, that may have also been a creative miracle. But to satisfy the doubts, let's read Matthew 14. With some of you already turning. He tells us that Matthew 14, let's read in verse 14, says, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick. Right? Then you look at chapter 15, verse 30. There's this great multitude again. Same time. Then great multitudes came to him, chapter 15 verse 30, having with them those who were lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Verse 31, so the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole. There was creative miracles in Jesus' life. And that giving of thanks brought that one leper wholeness while the rest were healed. One of the most important things that we learn in the New Testament is to give thanks. The word give thanks in the Greek is from the Greek word eucharistio. 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 And strangely, the word eucharistio is a formation from the same word that is the word grace, which is the word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. The Greek word for grace is the word charis. And you can tell that Paul is someone who thanked the Lord a lot. In Romans 1, he says, I give thanks for you all. In 1 Corinthians 1, he says, I thank God for you all. Even though there were a bunch of people who got all kinds of problems, Paul started the letter, I give thanks for you. 2 Corinthians 1, he again says, I give thanks. In almost every letter, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, every time he started out, he said, I give thanks to God for you. I give thanks. Why is thanksgiving so important? Because thanksgiving relates to the grace of God continuing upon our lives. The Greek word for thanksgiving is that same word for grace. So when we give thanks, which in the Christian tradition, we also call it saying grace. Now you know where the tradition comes from the original Greek word. But here's a point that we want to show here in Romans chapter 1. Let's look at Romans 1. And see why the Israelites in Hosea's time fell because of one simple reason. They forgot the Lord and did not give thanks and bless the Lord. It all starts from there. All the great sins start from not giving thanks. Romans chapter 1. Right? If you have your Bible. Romans chapter 1. Now, look very carefully what he says in verse 20 and 21 onwards. He says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's talking about all men in general. Then he says, because, look at verse 21, because, talking about all mankind, although they